at this point in time. We're going to sit tight as we listen to the message by our guest minister. Can we appreciate and welcome Apostle Philip Sefa?
Hallelujah. Today is Brothers Day, like generally, or just in the youth? Okay, in the youth. Okay, that's good. So help me appreciate the chairman. Then we move. I have a few more minutes here. I want to speak to you basically about something that have to do with brotherly love. I never really know that you people are celebrating Brothers Day. So, in fact, everything I wanted to speak about coincide with that. I want to speak to you about brotherly love. I come across one of the old emphasis of those times. Many decades ago, the emphasis has been the love in the body of Christ. The emphasis has been how we can dwell together as brethren. But as time advances, we've neglected that protocol, and it seems as though what a great man said, that 20 children cannot play together for 20 years, became a possibility. How that is impossible for you to know somebody for 20 years and still be friends. Somehow, many things separate us. Sometimes our aspiration for greatness, other times school engagement, other times diverse kinds of ambition, business expertise, and desires. So sometimes that love that you once professed to each other and keeping to brethren fall away. There was a question that Chidi Okalafor used to ask many years ago. He even preached about it. And I believe that that question was profound, especially during the time of the crisis in Assemblies of God. The question is simple. Are we still brethren? I want to ask you this evening, are you truly, really brethren? The concept of brotherhood, the concept of being brethren, is how much more you can share things together, like in the book of Acts of the Apostles. How nobody owns anything. We saw a kind of unity together among them, which helped them to thrive continually as messengers of the Lord. Romans 12:10. Bible said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. What this scripture is trying to let us understand, that one of the only ways for us to be able to dwell together as brethren is when each and everyone honor each other. What that means is, whether you like it or not, honor is reciprocal. Helen, how are you doing? Whether you like it or not, that sound should be high a little bit. A little bit. Whether you like it or not, honor is reciprocal. The same way love must be reciprocated, is the same way honor must be reciprocated. And if we are going to be brethren in the house of the Lord, we must learn to honor and value each other. One of the only ways that we can dwell together in common unity as brothers and sisters is when there is a common kind of honor, that you put another better than yourself. A lot of times we find people trying to condemn other people so that they can rise. For instance, if I want a favor from Barnabas, I will meet Helen and tell her everything that Barnabas has done to me wrong. So without her actually meeting Barnabas face to face, she will begin to judge him from the mirror image of that which I have told her. So, and peradventure, if she begins to judge him like that, the same way, healing in another way to find favor from the chairman, she will meet the chairman and tell the chairman something about somebody else. The funny thing about all of this is that everybody has some kind of imperfection. Everybody has some kind of weakness that if you choose to explore, you will find something wrong in the person. I get what I'm saying now. So the only way for us to avoid that kind of dilemma is to be able to put each other ahead. What I mean by that is, if you come to me telling me about somebody, if I truly want to keep the love among the brethren, I should be able to tell you only the good things about the person. And everything that he may do that actually is bad should be a prayer point. I get what I'm saying now. So what that scripture is trying to let us understand is that in brotherly love, in love among the brethren, we have to be able to put each and every one first. And if you have to put me first, or if I have to put you first, I must look at you better than me. Anytime I look at you and I want to remove the plug in your eyes, I will just remember that actually I also have one in my eye. And in keeping to that, I will see the need to be able to love you on the platform that we all are brethren. Are you understand what I'm saying now? So you say you have to be kindly. It will require a certain level of benevolence for somebody to truly, really love another. Kindness in itself is a sacrifice. That you have to be nice to someone is a very big challenge. You don't want to see how people are so angry in this society. You meet somebody, you tell him good afternoon, he shout at you, why did you greet me? I mean, we were in a retreat. I mean, you know, there is a lady at the mountain. If you tell her good morning, she'll ask you what is good about the morning. If you tell her auntie, she will tell you, is she auntie? Does she look like auntie? If you tell her lady, she would. So the thing is this, the hurdles of life can make people be angry with everything. So sometimes it takes a lot of energy for you to be nice to someone. Do you know what it means for somebody to match you and you tell the person sorry instead of the person telling you sorry? That's what the scripture is saying. You have to put the other person ahead. And anyone that show you any level of love or any level of honor, learn to reciprocate it. One of the easiest ways you can maintain brotherly love is when you actually find a way to reciprocate love. If somebody buy you sweet of 10 naira today, tomorrow buy him of 5 naira. If he cannot buy him of 5 naira, at least escort him home. I get what I'm saying now. To him, that's honor. But if all the time he does everything to ensure that you look good, you look nice, you feel better, and yet the only thing you can do is to keep insulting the person. Speak how much more the person is not good enough, how much more the person is bad enough. You look at all the weakness of the person and you explore them. How do you intend for that love to continue? No. Many more times, when love among people begin to decelerate, it's simply because somebody is becoming selfish. The only way we can keep the brotherly love together is when we can become selfless enough. And that is the prime call for greatness. Greatness in itself is how much more you can become selfless. There has never been any selfish man that has ever become great. Every man that you see today that makes tremendous impact are men that are selfless. What I mean by selfless is that they never consider their own challenge. They never consider their own situation big enough to stop them from actually reaching out to another person. And you must understand that as you are today, as Youth Fellowship, I assure you don't know what you become tomorrow. I'm very serious. You have no idea. Even if I tell you to take a guess of what you become tomorrow, you don't know. When was the last time you sit down to imagine and ask yourself, what were your desires? Many years ago, if they ask you, who do you want to be? Many of you say you want to be a doctor. Others say you want to be an engineer. Others say they want to be a lawyer. Ask yourself, what are you today? Everything you talk about yesterday was not what you are today. You hardly see a man that planned his life and got it the way he desired. Why? Because life in itself is an educational system. Apart from the qualification you have in school, life has a way of accrediting you, educating you, and teaching you again. So one of the only way for a man to ensure that success is guaranteed is when he learns how to build relationship. And the only way you can build relationship is by love. No one have a good relationship with stranger. It's a joker. Do you know that love is a command in scripture? You are commanded to love, but you are never commanded to be in relationship with anybody. I can decide to love you, but do you know I can decide not to have your number and be your friend? Me and you can decide. We can be members of the same church, but I don't want to do business with you. Why? Because I can't trust you with money. So you will not begin to realize that when you come to the level of relationship, somehow love is not a factor. But you must understand that brotherly love is a command. You are commanded to love each other. But what will now become the platform upon which you advance to relationship is when your love can be trusted. Every man that truly loves the Lord will love everybody, but he will never trust everybody. Trust comes when your love is tested. And when your love is tested and there is trust, relationship can be established. And the goal is that we can love each other and also be able to establish relationship with each other, knowing fully well that we don't know where we are going to meet each other tomorrow. Tomorrow you may need Cornelius. Next tomorrow you may need Estimo. Another day you may need somebody you may never actually imagine. At that time, it will be woe unto you when the person truly cannot even remember your name. So it is a prime call upon us to learn how to be selfless in keeping to dealing with people. Put the interests of others first. If you must, you must desire honor from people, provoke it by you first of all, honoring them. Do you know that if I see Lama today passing like this, and peradventure I'm coming the other way, and I felt that me and him, we don't talk. If I want us to talk, it's easy. It's for me to just start by greeting him. Do you realize that? If I greet him, he will respond. If he doesn't respond, it's a very big fool. If I keep doing it again and again and again and again, one day he will respond. And by the time I do that like 10 times, the 11th time, if he has sense, when I'm coming, before I open my mouth, him too, he will greet me. This thing is reciprocal. But do you know, I can continue to do like that, and after a while, I will get tired if he doesn't respond. Do you know that it's more easier for you to ask for help from somebody that you have a very good relationship with? Ask yourself right now. If today you are in a trouble and they say you should call two people that should come and see you right now, who will you call? That number, that person that you actually thought of, is somebody that you have built a very good relationship with. There are people that cannot even trust their brothers. There are people that can never even trust their mothers. There are people that can never even trust their fathers. Why? It's not because they don't love them. They love them, but they can't establish a relationship with them. I need you to understand that when we talk about brotherly love, we talk about the ability for a man to be able to understand his brother. And the only way that that can be possible is when you can ask yourself this question: are we truly, really brethren? How can we be in the same church fighting each other? How can we still be in the same church gossiping each other? How can two people from the same church not talk to each other? How? And we call ourselves brothers. We pray in tongues, we prophesy, we attend meeting together. Afterwards, we go back individually and talk against each other. The question is simple: are we still really brethren? Yes, we may be brethren in the mouth, but we are not brethren in heart. When was the last time you see the need to visit chairman? When was the last time you see the need to just call chairman and ask him, how are you doing? How has been work? Every morning I see you drive in the car and go, I don't know how it is. Some people drive that same route and they die. You are waiting for a day when he's sick. You are waiting for the day when accident happens. Then you now come and pretend to be brethren. You know the kind of brethren we have today? When they hear that you have an accident, they are not looking for how to come and reach out to you. Have you gone to the house and somebody died lately? All kinds of people come in the name of brethren. Those are fake brethren. Anybody that cannot be there for you when you are alive, coming to be there for you when you are dead is a waste of time. Because dead men don't live again. Now is a good time for you to show love to one another. Now is a good time for you to reach out to one another. The strength of us united together in love is the indivisible strength and the power that we need to advance anything. Our unity is an advantage. Our division is a disadvantage. Today everybody is waiting for the other one to go down so that he can rise. And anytime you see the other person doing better than you, you start getting angry. And we call ourselves brethren. We stay here, we pray and we fast. God, prosper this one. God, prosper this one. When the Lord begins to prosper the person, it is you that will gather together and start gossiping and start criticizing the person and say how much more the person is not qualified to be lifted by God. The question is simple: are we truly, really brethren? We must be able to understand that one of the greatest responsibilities upon us as believers is how much more we can love each other. How much more we can understand each other and work together. Do you know that truly speaking, you will fail in life if people do not support you? You see, it's true. I believe you need God like you need God in your life. But only favor with God will make you a very good prayer warrior. If only God favor you in this life, you'll be a very good prayer warrior. There will be grace for you to fast more, to pray more. Now, Barnabas told me he has been fasting. That's good. There will be grace for you to fast more, to pray more, to study more. But I'm telling you, you need favor with men. It is men that open doors in the physical. God will have to force men. Have you seen people that God tell them to do something for someone and they refuse? How many times have you disobeyed God? But the last time God said, cook food and give this person, and you refuse to do it. And that person is fasting and praying. He has favor with God. God speak to you, but you refuse. And because you refuse, God cannot do anything. You have to look for another person. The answers to prayer is dependent upon how much more men can obey God. You may never believe it. And this thing is made easier when men have a good relationship with each other. God will answer our prayer through men. And this man that God is going to use to answer our prayer, it will have been more easier if we have a very good relationship with them. It will be very hard. It will require high grace of God for God to speak to your enemy, for your enemy to go and bless you. Highly grace of God. So as good as you have favor with God, you must strive to have favor with men. One of the ways to have favor with men is to sustain a balanced posture of love for people. That's why Jesus Christ was about leaving. He said, I pray that they should be one as we are one. He said, one of the two signs that the world will know that I am among you is that when they see love among both of you. Today, you will hardly see love in the body of Christ. Reverence are fighting reverence. Pastors are fighting pastors. Escorts are fighting and quarreling with each other. And yet we call ourselves brethren. And we want to advance the cause of the gospel. How? When the devil has already won, it's as if you are fighting a battle that you know you are going to lose. It is impossible for us to achieve anything if we are not united. When a people are not united, their head become many. They are like monsters. No one decision can be obeyed. When Chapman said this, another group will connive together and say another thing. So when he's emphasizing on this one, other people are planning this one. And before you know it, devil will move through that disunity. And nothing can be achieved. Our strength and advantage is not in plenty numbers. It's in how much more we can be aligned. And one of the only way we can be aligned is when we are one in heart. And that speaks about the heart posture of love. Today is a challenge. Husbands and wife don't talk. They are bedmate. You know what called bedmate? They sleep in the same bed. They don't talk. And they go to the same church. Today, sisters and brothers, they don't talk. Some are planning evil against the other. And we call ourselves brethren. The question is simple. Are we truly, really brethren? Are we? What kind of a lifestyle do we live? What kind of message do we hear every day on Sundays that does not transform us? The goal is not to preach sermons. Sermons doesn't change people. No. People have listened to so many sermons that they went back to say. Many. Few things change people. Few things. Have you seen people that are not even filled with the Holy Spirit? Just because you show them a love, they begin to cry. You don't understand. Sir. I have shown love to idol worshippers, Muslims, and they were weeping and they were crying. Just because I seems to be there in the times of their troubles. I seems to just forget about myself and be selfless enough to reach out to them and help them. And simply because I help them, to them, you are a God. I need you to understand that with all your Holy Ghost, tongue talking prophecy, if you don't have the character of love and truly show love to one another, you are nothing. As the scripture speaks in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, it says you are nothing but a what? Sounding cymbal. Do you know what is sounding cymbal? I mean, you need to be schooled in music to play this thing to make sense. If somebody that is not schooled in music begin to play this drum, I assure you, you will know what noise is. The difference between noise and music is that one has an alignment. Do you understand? The other one, you don't even know where it's going to. So with that factor of love in all your Christianity, you are making noise. And that's why a lot of time people look at you and they insult you. They say you are wicked, you are bad. Why? Because all your prayer meeting you have been going through, it has not changed you. Because you came back home and you are still fighting with your brother. You came back home, you are still insulting your mother. You came back home and they say, wash clothes. You say, no. You came back home, they say, cook. You say, mom, if you don't go and cook, eat, you will die hungry. Are we still brethren? Is that the Christianity that you profess? This is part of the reason why all our prayer is a waste of time. Because brotherly love is not found among us. In church today, you see a brother and a brother fighting each other. Because of a lady that none of them even end up marrying, but they fight each other, insult each other, and do all kinds of things. Today in church, you see a lady and a lady fighting each other because of a guy. They came to church, the house of prayer, they leave the emphasis, they focus on a guy, and they are fighting tenaciously with all their lives, releasing all kinds of armor. Today people come to church to show, for show. They come to check the kind of clothes people put, how well people dress, and they come and they begin to gossip. Look at her hair today. In fact, for the past 3 weeks, she has not been to salon. Look at the way she's even smelling. Are we still brethren? If you are truly brethren, you should be able to give her one of your perfume, or you should be able to take her to salon and pay for it. With that one, you don't need to preach for her. She will know that Christianity is in your heart. Today we are happy when people are failing. We clap and we are excited when only us rise. It's foolishness. What I need you to understand is this: no matter how you do, you must come to a point in your life when you have to answer this question. Are you truly brethren among yourselves? Husband and wife need to be brethren. Brothers and sisters need to be brethren. We must be able to come to a point where our association with each other produce a vital result. Not just that we are there because of what we can gain. A lot of times you must be selfless enough in keeping to your brother. If not, in the days of reckoning, what people remember is your sacrifice of love. People don't remember that you were a prayer warrior. Those things are good, but I assure you, if your prayer does not transform you and bring you to a point where you can reveal the love of God to a dying world, you are wasting your time. I get what I'm saying now. It's very, very important for us to take prime notice, to understand that the avalanche that Christianity provides for us is not for show. It's not to come and show us that you can sing, or show us that you dress well. You do. No. Your life is the emphasis. So when we come to church, it's not to find a lady to marry. No. It's not to find a guy to marry. No. Let brotherly love dwell among you effectively, where you will be a good example unto others. It amazes me for you to see people highly anointed. They can cast out devil, heal the sick, lay hands on you, you fall under that anointing. But when they go out, they can slap you, they can insult you, they can do all kinds, and you wonder, are they truly anointed? The question is not, are they truly anointed? Are we truly brethren with each other? Because even an unbelieving believer understands who is his brother. Even in all courts, they have brotherhood. You show love to your brother. When one is falling, they reach out to him to bring him up. Only in Christianity that most wounded soldiers never reach to the hospital. Another soldier will stab them, let them die, so that they will be glad that at least they prophesy that you will die. The question is simple: are we truly, really brethren? If we are truly brethren, we should be able to pray for each other. When was the last time you take out time to pray for Helene? Paul, when was the last time? Let's be frank. How many of you here have ever prayed for anyone here? Forget about me. Maybe because you saw one of my pictures online. This man needs prayer. How we pray for these ones that are here that have not risen? Have you? Every man you see today on top is an evidence of the prayer and the sacrifice of others. The people that pray them to become great, they are greater than them. The world may never know them. Do you know that donkey that they used to use to escape with Jesus that night, when they decide to kill everybody, that donkey is as important as Jesus? You don't understand. We must come to a point for us to realize that human beings that you see here, they are ladders. Human beings that you see, they are ladder. No one go up without building a ladder. You don't build a ladder up, you build it down. That same ladder that you build will help you go up. Human beings are ladder. When you don't have a very good relationship with people and build them effectively well, I assure you, forget about greatness. If that is what you desire, you are wasting your time, you are dreaming. Every great company today succeeds on the basis of how much more they utilize people. Your money will be wasted. Your talent will be wasted. Everything will waste if you don't know how to manage people. That's why we have human resource management. Please help me. Thank you so much. Justice, right? Our longest time. Whether you like it or not, any man that does not know how to utilize people will never rise in life. Never. Never. Many corporations, many companies learn the art of love. Learn how to relate to people. Now it's a sociological principle. That you learn how to influence people, learn how to work with people, learn how to, you must learn it. And in church, we don't know it. In church, we don't know how to relate to people. Basic course in business. Team, we call it teamwork. In fact, you can never be employed to any company if you don't know the basis of teamwork. How to work with other people. How to forget about your interests and look at corporate goal. Only in church, we don't have set determined corporate goal. And it's simply because we cannot answer the question, are we still brethren? Every organization understands that they are together. They are working for the goal of the organization. Really, the person that truly might have executed the plan may not truly really matter. But that the organization will matter so much. Last, Hebrews 13:1 said, let brotherly love continue. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 said, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. That means he has been writing to them again and again. Say, for ye yourself are taught of God to love one another.